This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast. This week's challenge, something YouTube playlist. Hello, you just gave me such a good compliment. You said I was very strange, and I agree. I was just saying that you should give yourself some slack because you were talking about that explicitly yesterday.
What?
You were very...
What is happening right now? What's happening? What are we talking about?
Yeah, don't interrupt me. Yesterday, you did a program called Back to Work that some people might be familiar with, and it made me feel the way I did in, like, when I, oh God, high school, who the fuck even knows? Time's an illusion. You talked about giving people slack right now because it's so, so fucking hard. And I don't know who needs to hear this. And I'm sure everybody is, you are hearing it. Josh Gad is telling you, everyone's literally telling you. But if you are listening to this, please, please fucking vote. I am not excited to vote for Biden. I'm not, but like, this is a fucking team sport.
This is gonna be
bitches.
Whole show.
Don't interrupt me.
Oh my God.
It's a fucking team sport. It's a team sport. If you care about me at all, please vote. My family, as small as it is, it might not be able to exist in a few years. I literally got married because I was so afraid of what was going to happen 4 years ago. And it feels really weird talking about this because I am very white, I'm very privileged, and someone very close to me recently said, one of the biggest problems with white allies is we're terrified of sounding incompetent. But that's what, like, Republicans do anyway. But why? So why are we so scared? Cancel us. Whatever. It's I don't know. Like, people are Republicans, and a lot of people are still going to hate you, even if you are a straight white woman and a good person. That is just how it's going to be. So please, please vote. You are hopefully a good person hearing this, and stop letting people, I want people to stop telling me how to feel, and I want other people to just feel things. It's okay. Be fucking sad. It's snowing in Chicago. But yeah, whatever happens, can't give up. So I'm a little fired up today, Merlin. It's okay that you were late.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah. Oh boy. How you doing, Merlin?
Good. The interesting thing is, one of the interesting things is I can't tell if I'm way better or way worse than you. Or neither.
I want to explore this. I'm pulling this thread.
First of all, I would like to respond. I have a response, which is thank you, because did you listen to that? What we're talking, I think what Alex is talking about here, in as much as I can tell, Alex has important messages, and I'm glad that you, thank you for your message. I totally agree. I agree with all those things.
Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. Sorry for interrupting. What?
How does one navigate this conversation?
What the fuck did I do?
What's happening?
I was making a reference to The Wire with our delay.
Could you honk like a goose? Can you honk like a goose when it's okay for me to speak?
Okay, hold on. This is actually, this might actually be a delay issue as well. Okay, Dropbox isn't syncing. I've got Bunch running. Dropbox isn't syncing. Box isn't syncing. Why are you going so slow? Internet, come on. All right, please proceed. I apologize. Sorry for interrupting.
I'm sorry, what did you want to say?
Go ahead.
That just sounds nothing like a goose. I think what Alex is talking about is yesterday's episode of Back to Work, which I have to say was really important to me. And I know you're not congratulating me, you're congratulating a concept, but that the concept is suddenly extremely important to me. And the reason I wanted to do the last half of Back to Work yesterday, I'll put it in show notes, is that I heard this wonderful podcast over the weekend, a podcast of a radio show I've listened to for years called To the Best of Our Knowledge, long story short. It popped up in my Overcast, and I knew instantly that I needed to listen to it soon because the title of
the title, yes,
the title of the episode is "Everything is Exhausting." And so they talk to four people about what it is that's so uniquely exhausting about this particular time, which seems like it would be real easy. Like you could kind of nail that in 2.5 minutes, but there's a lot to it. And also some ways to just think about doing stuff differently. And the thing that I was saying, my addition to that, somewhat of an addition, part of maybe a paraphrase, is like, there's so many benefits to going easier on yourself, right? I mean, this is not the first time I've said this, but God, it's so true now. And what that made me think is, and I'm sorry, I'm just repeating what you said, but like, you know, we spend so much time wound up about what other people will think about us. And we get so wound up with making sure that we don't disappoint a stranger or that we hew to their idea of who we are. And like, fuck that. I need to be reminded sometimes. We don't want to be a terrible person, but the way to not be a terrible person is to not tacitly agree to change your personality based on every exchange, real or imagined.
Just fucking try. There's so much to be said for trying. And
yeah,
people are afraid to try, and I hate it. I tried so fucking hard.
Our side of the aisle, politically, our side of the aisle, it's just there's no bottom to the disappointment in terms of like, even if we just set aside for a minute, dude, your fucking job is to fight hard, not simply as a member of Congress, for example, but also as a person who represents a party that supported you, you know, gave you the job, gave you the opportunity, because like we need you to be a wartime consigliere now. And if you're not up for that, move the fuck aside. Like, you know, like Chuck Schumer going, oh boy, Trump's going to be sorry he did Barrett thing because I'm but a boy, are you going to, or like people going, sir, doing like a Keith Olbermann, like, you know, oh, Mr. Trump, sir, or, you know, Mr. McConnell, sir, your legacy, sir, will be a legacy of shame. And it's like, you know, I almost wish that McCarthy hearing guy speech had never happened, because I think it's made people want to think that they can like white knight their way into saving the country through saying fancy words.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I hate it. Fight harder, you bitches.
We're literally your bosses. It's such a cliche thing to say, but it's true. I mean,
it's also a little bit of Canadian girlfriend. It's a little bit of Canadian girlfriend where it's like, oh, don't worry. What did Nancy say that, is it Darth? No. Who keeps saying this stuff? Yeah, Nancy, you said you got a lot of arrows in your quiver. Like, could you please go get all of your quivers and all of your arrows and fucking do something? Pull every stunt, every single stunt, do it all, try it all. You have to do this. You're like, it's like fighting an alligator and hoping you can like get them to agree to some rules about how the fight's going to go. But it's too late because you've already lost an arm and a leg and maybe part of your head.
Oh, well, believe me, what you did was very undignified. Oh, fuck.
I mean, I'm not asking people to go out into the streets and punch a Proud Boy because they terrify me. Good God. But we've tried going high. We've tried playing by the rules. And everybody, I think, is so much smarter than 4 years ago. I would like to think if I am not smarter, I hope that I get better every year. And I hope I am a better person to the people in my life every year. And that means changing, and we can't keep fucking doing this.
Well, it's also that, like, I think one on our side being the
And this time though, it does. It is, we talk all the time about how there isn't or often isn't an us versus them. They have clearly made it an us versus them. So how about we don't do it within our own side of the aisle or whatever? Sorry.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Goose. the one thing here is that I'm just imagining this, but I think an implicit fallacy of our side is, well, what they're doing is wrong. You know, we're not going to do the kind of terrible things that they do. And there's, I got to say, 80% of me absolutely agrees with that. There is a little part of me that thinks, maybe you should use some of their tactics. That said, what I'm saying to you is get creative. I'm not saying you have to go sully your image as a statesman or statesperson, states they. I'm saying you need to get creative about how to fix this problem. I don't know how to do your job, and you theoretically do. So fucking get it together and help, you know, save the people. Jesus Christ. I don't know. Now you got me. I came into this very philosophical, and now you got me all fired up. And I'm, you know, sad. Sad? When am I? I'm something. I'm exhausted.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but other people are exhausted too. Fuck you. Like, are you that upset that your Twitter feed is filled with sad people? Like, what?
There was a good post yesterday on political Twitter yesterday or the day before where that just really like kind of encapsulated this feeling. And it was like, you know, so imagine a typical like two-person conversation, right? With colons. And it's like, when something like when Republicans are in power, it's like, you know, hey, you know, elections have consequences. Like when Democrats are in power, the Republicans say, hey, you know, just, you know, you shouldn't capitalize on this pendulum swing. You should be collegial. And then Republicans are back in power. Elections have consequences. Like, repeat forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, it's...
Well, yesterday, I think there was a dogpile on Jennifer Lawrence because she maybe voted for McCain or something. And I'm like, well, I was literally a child.
Yeah, she said she used to, when she was younger, she used to be vote Republican. Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what? Middle-class white women are pretty much, the majority are Republican, and it sucks. Hopefully a lot of them aren't anymore, but...
It's been the default for so many people I know for my whole life, because it was really, I'm not saying it was ever great, but like, you're not getting anywhere by going, oh, if you think this is something new, you haven't been paying attention. It's like, I have been paying attention, dude. It's just that you can only really make dinner with the food you have. You can't wish you had a different house with different food. Like, what you've got is, as they say, this is the hand that we're dealt. Now, how do we get creative about that? I don't know. It's funny. One of the things I wrote down on the list here, though, is like, maybe you can help me remember this. But so we'd done Top Scallops and then a previous podcast with Max. And then we decided we wanted to do a new thing. We're coming up with this. And a couple of things I remember, and my memory's so bad about this, I don't know why. One thing I remember is, didn't we, like, in the beginning, maybe I'm thinking of Yield Nice today, but it feels like in the beginning there was at least one or two or three episodes we didn't air.
Yes, but then there were also...
But we were thinking, do we want to say, maybe we should not start doing and releasing the show until after the election. I feel like was an early conversation. Am I right about that?
But then all of the polling said... Clinton's gonna win, like, go Hill Dog go, and including me, I was super excited. And
yeah, that was your fight song.
Yeah. No, they ruined such a stupid bad song that I secretly love, which is not so secret anymore. But this show became something different after Trump was elected.
But just to close the parentheses.
Sorry,
on that, so I remember that kind of, so we had two, I think we had two shows before the election, and mm-hmm. I was trying to look today, and I think the Amazon Send Each Other Stuff challenge might have been the first episode that aired after the election. Does that seem about right?
It is. I went back and looked, actually, too, because I was very curious.
And so, but think about that. I mean, like, it's not precisely a bookend, but it'll do for now. It's interesting because, let me state the thing I'm trying to talk around, which is this show started. Like, right when the election was happening, when the election was wrapping up, and for 4 years, we've done this show, 210 episodes of this show, and it's all but two of those episodes were during that, those times. Trump's been president for all but two, he was sworn in January, but you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's just weird to think about. The thing I put in the notes here was like, you know, is this the end of an era? Like, depending on the next episode that we record and air, it feels like a week from now feels like I don't know what's going to happen. I think I know. I hope I know. But even if what I hope I know happens, it's not going to be pretty either way.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard either way. And... I think we need to learn and accept that. Like, even if there is a blue wave, which whoever came up with that stupid red wave, blue wave, it just sounds fucking stupid. I'm sorry. I apologize if you came up with that. But I hope that this is another. I mean, I
alas, I used to enjoy your program about boners and butts and vaginas and slicing off boobs. And I used to love that program, but alas, I can no longer listen to your program. For I am the inventor of the blue wave. Farewell to my Friday. I bid thee well, but not very well. Signed, Blue Waveman.
Want to start the show? Jake's like... Oh, I know you don't. Well, I don't know if you read like the Patreon exit surveys.
Jesus Christ, no! Oh, well, Alex, please,
no!
What are you doing to me?
What? No! There are
yes.
No! Reverse honk. I broke my throat.
No, I just geesed. I geesed you. You're free to speak. And just so our listeners know, we are having probably an unprecedented level of latency. So if it sounds like we're talking over or under each other, for once, we actually are having a very, very bad latency that will not be reflected in the recording you hear because we each record separately. But just so you know.
I'm just quitting all the browsers now and opening them in, opening the notes in my phone. I don't even remember the words. I look at the Patreon exit surveys. Just if some folks need like credit card help or, you know, but the the best exit survey was, I think the extreme left has destroyed the show and it's not as fun anymore.
I've stopped supporting Patreons for that reason.
I was like, go ahead.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your message, Alex. That was great to hear.
I don't know, it made me happy.
This is not my all-time favorite review, but it's very close to my favorite review. In I want to say 1985 or 1986, there was a quote-unquote supergroup. Supergroups were very popular in the mid-80s, and it was usually aging prog rock people or aging, metal guys or whatever. And there was one, and the main players in it were, if memory serves, Steve Howe from Yes, who's really good, and Steve Hackett from Genesis, who's also really good. He virtually invented the hammer-on technique.
Oh, shit.
And they had a record together called GTR. And the review in one of the guitar magazines I used to read at the time, it said GTR, had the album cover. It said GTR band, GTR album. Here's the review, SHT. It's so funny. GTR review, SHT.
That's good. I like it. Oh, boy. How is your iced tea? We're starting in an unprecedented, maybe 5 minutes late because, you know, you triggered me when you said you were having iced tea and it would be a second.
I do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever Maddie can say to me, I'm going to go take a shower and then I instantly need to pee, because we only have one bathroom and I don't know, I'm a shy peer when we were out into the world doing things,
you're a shy peer. You didn't seem like a shy peer when you barged into the restroom at the live recording of, excuse me, when you barged into the men's restroom, cutting line if memory serves, you barged in and walked straight in.
No one was using the stall. No, there was a line for the urinals. No, I'm sorry. I really had to pee.
And so any mention of liquid does that? Or can do that?
Yes. I don't know why.
No, I mean, I don't talk about this too much, but I have a chronic health condition that has been in remission for many years. But long story short, I was at a point in life where it took very, I'm already pretty panicky, but it took very little to make me very panicky because of the idea that I might not be able to get to a bathroom. And I believe me, I know what that, like the idea of, so basically your life becomes about that. You become like somebody in one of those terrible MSNBC commercials where you're developing moderate to severe Merlin Man. And like, it's just the suggestion that basically anything could happen in the world. Your first thought is, will this impact my ability to be in a bathroom doing what I need to do within about 20 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
It makes, it really gives you a lot of focus in life, and not in a good way.
Nope.
So I'm sympathetic.
Well, don't be sympathetic to me, but what you just described.
Don't you tell me what to do. I'm speaking my truth.
Don't you feel bad for me. Don't have feelings. Don't feel anything about me. But that is the life. That's actually the life of most trans people who don't quote unquote pass.
Sure.
It's a constant.
You don't get clocked, as they say.
Yeah, it's like there's always man, this is a big old Alex episode. But you know, when Matchy and I are again,
I had so much content. I have so much content to talk to you about today.
Let's,
I'm gonna set
it. Let's
all of
it
aside.
No.
Why, stop. Shut your.
Stop having feelings.
God, you're so annoying today.
I'm sorry.
Speak your truth. What I'm saying is, honk, I'm getting out of the way. You run this outfit. It's your week to drive. I'm getting out of the way. Forget about Dickerson pencils, types of lateness, Merlin's weird watch thing. Is Merlin unintentionally thirsty? A very good gear bag to show Alex. Or don't forget all of that. I want you to speak your truth, but I need you to be way nicer to me, or I will cry.
No. You. I don't think. Well, okay, that was mean. I was gonna say.
Now you sound like a songbird.
I'm a level one Pokemon right there.
Go ahead. Go off, queen. Go off, they.
They... Okay, the one feeling people can't have is correct. Okay, never mind. Backing away from that. What questions were you going to have about Dickerson pencils, actually? Because this is somewhat a little bit relevant. Hold on. I apologize. I think Dougie might be calling me. Sorry.
Alex, I came into this program today feeling very, very philosophical. My opening salvo to you was going to be that I'm feeling very philosophical. So this suits my mood very nicely. And now the important part is I set aside that I not be ego assertive with you about my philosophical outlook. I want to clear the runway for you. I'm going to grab those big orange popsicle lightsabers, and I'm going to clear the runway for you. Boop, boop, boop. I don't know why I'm backing up, especially because I'm not in a car and I'm standing in front of a plane. In any case, boop, boop, boop.
How are you doing?
How do you speak bocce? It's like a second language to me, sir.
Oh boy. Okay. I mean, the Dickerson pencil actually has. That was a pop. Dougie's coming over. We might get an appearance from him. Oh, okay. There we are. Why can't XLR cables be fine?
If I can ask, what's he coming for? Is there a stated reason why Dougie's coming? Is he going to look at your table or whatever? What's he doing?
He wants to check on the locks, which. Cool. Okay.
Check for what? That they're still locked?
I don't know. I just wanted to get off the phone as quickly as possible.
Oh my god.
I mean,
at least you get calls. Our whole experience is so much weirder.
This is the first time he's ever called me.
Just people will just show up at the house and go. They sent me over to measure the. He sent me over to measure the floor. I go, huh? yeah, he needs me to measure the floor. This is after 3 weeks ago when someone showed up and said, he sent me over to fix your sink. And we said, our sink's not broken, but we could really use some help with the floor. Guy came up, different guy. That guy comes up. He says, yeah, you got a lot of problems with the floor. Okay, bye. And then the other day, a guy shows up at 9 in the morning. No call, no warning, no anything. Different guy. Guy we've never seen. Oh, hi. I'm a stranger. I need to measure your floor. So I don't, I mean, who knows? So basically, in the same way that the floorman could just show up unannounced, and he was apologetic. He's like, yeah, that's how he works. So I guess at any time, somebody or somebodies could show up to do something to our floor. but we will never hear about it. Now, our locks, I don't know. Our locks are very old.
I mean, that's why I panicked. Whew.
But extremely powerful. Our locks are very powerful. Do not try to come in. Mm-hmm. Do not breach by my perimeter.
At this point, I'm kind of like, whatever with locks. Come on in. What the most?
Will you? Can I capture that though? So we do, maybe after our special election extravaganza next week, maybe you can tell me happened with the locks. If you got any insight into your locks?
Yeah, we'll do. The reason that I'm panicking about it is because I often don't get a call, which is I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to live. That's such a great way to live.
Well,
and constant concern of will you or will if, because neither one's good. You get a call, ha ha ha. You get a not call, ha ha ha. You know, it's not great. Monsters. They're all monsters. Who lives like that? What if I just started fucking showing up at your house and saying I need to do something to your house? Well, this is my house. So go, yeah, well, that was my house too. It's just 20 years, dude.
Let me take on the character of many grandparents, including my own. Why don't you just buy a place? It's just, the market's great now. Why don't you just buy a place? You can just buy a place. Mm-hmm. No, do you need help buying the place?
Do you know about mortgages? Did you know that you can buy a house slowly? That sounds really interesting.
See, then you're putting the money into something you own.
Will they accept fear and use tampons as a down payment?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
please leave.
Boy.
Please leave, they.
Oh, well, hey, if you want me to buy a condo in Chicago, you can go to www.giveusyourfuckingmoney.com, which is our Patreon page. And that is where you can indeed give us your fucking money. And you'll get a...
And then when you decide to leave, you can also give us notes.
Most of them are actually very, very nice. It's also anonymous, so you can say...
I'm sure they're very nice, but Alex, you missed the point. It's not whether it's nice or not nice. The point is, to quote the great Dave Eggers, that's not for you. And it might be for you, because you're covering that aspect of what we do here, and I appreciate that. But that is not for me. There's very few things that will improve by me finding out... through someone's captive attention of me, what they think of me. It makes life feel like an intervention, and I hate it.
Yeah, no, you would literally get nothing out of it except, like, you would make a Pokemon noise.
Well, this is your weird, we're very different, you and I. You like these kinds of things.
No, I don't.
I feel like, or you oh.
I used to like these kind of... I used to like these kinds of things because I put a lot of stock in what other folks thought about me. And now I hope I am less like that in 2020 than I was in 2016. But also I want to make sure that people got their, you know, decks of cards or whatever, or can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The RSS feed for people breaks all the time. Oh, sorry. What you get for backing our Patreon is an entire second show where I'm even louder.
Yeah. If you enjoy hearing us bitch about your support, you know, you can hear more of that later.
And if you...
Gratitude takes many forms, let's be honest.
And I'm going to put the, you know, asterisk of it is a tough time. Like, you know, like, don't... I don't know if... honestly, the worst part of reading those is like, I'm so sorry that I can't support you. And I'm like, dudes... It's okay.
I know.
It's okay.
It's really nice. It's sweet when people say that.
Yeah. But no, I don't read iTunes.
Apple Christ,
Apple
never.
Podcast reviews anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was a phrase to quote myself. Emotional terrorism. It's a form of emotional terrorism.
That's a really good. Oh wow. That's a. Huh.
I dropped a lot of pretty good science. You know what? You guys, you know, listen to our show, give us your fucking money, but go listen to that episode, not just because it's one of the best episodes of that show I've done, in my opinion, but the stuff that I'm talking about is extremely important. And like Alex said at the top, I think it's very important content there. And unintentionally, it was kind of about talking about COVID, and then it kind of became about life, which is, you know, when you're philosophical, like I am right now, that's how that works.
That was the thing I disagreed, the one thing where I shouted no at that episode, is when you stated that this is just philosophical. No, for most, not, yeah, yeah, no, 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 most people, including me, that's real life. It is. You gotta think about it all the time, or you get real fucked. So,
yeah, I it's just, there's, you know, there's this thing that's bothered me personally and professionally for a really long time. And I talk about it more than I should, which is terrible because the people who are nominally there to, you know, hear about productivity or whatever, I can never get away from this. And it's ever since even before the how to wash your dishes life hack, I've been really, really personally and professionally bugged by people who can't be asked to like check out the philosophy behind why we're doing this rather than just how to do this. Like one of the huge problems, setting aside the addiction that feels useful to life hacks and productivity tips. That's kind of why I got out of the racket. It's also that you wouldn't need all of these tips if you adopted a better philosophy. Mm-hmm. Once you've adopted a better philosophy, when I say philosophy, I really in some ways mean an outlook, or that phrase I like to use a lot, how you think, or like how you see, how you think, how you decide, how you do. That's that kind of stack of how you get from one to the other. And if you run a trace through that stack, you're going to probably notice where things are falling short. And I think a lot of the time it's because we start with some kind of flawed idea about why we're doing what we're doing. And so if you don't have a persuasive theory about why you need a life hack for soaking your dishes. I mean, this is a really, really bad analogy, but if you're in Catholicism for the free bread, like you're not going to meet Peter, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, so if you don't understand, like, whether you agree with it or not, like, there's a lot to understand about why we do this, why we sing this way, why we kneel here and not there. Right? I mean, and that, like I said, that's an imperfect analogy, but that's fucking life, man. There's so much stuff in life where if you've not really never thought about your motivation and the motivation behind your motivation, the you know, slings and arrows of outrageous romance that brought you to be how you are, if you don't interrogate that, you're going to just be lucky if anything goes well for you.
Yep.
And that's why when I'd say I'm not disagreeing with your disagreeing, but I'm just saying, like, if you don't get the philosophy stuff right, like, how will you know if you're doing the right thing? How will you, as Stephen Covey says, know if your ladder's against the right wall? You can get the fanciest, tallest, strongest ladder in the world, but, like, if that's against the building that you don't need to be getting into, then what's the fucking point? Is that a fair defense?
Yes, I am preparing my Apple Notes apology now, because you were talking about philosophy, I think, in the truest sense, and not like a David Foster Wallace-esque liberal college major type thing.
Oh, right.
I majored in philosophy.
Probably, I could use a better word, probably, yeah.
No one should major in philosophy or poetry. That's not a hill I will die on. It's just an opinion.
Wow. And that's why? Why is that?
Because it's dumb. I don't know. It's stupid.
How many poetry classes have you taken, Alex?
How many poetry classes have I taken? Three.
Mm-hmm. And what was dumb? Were the classes dumb or just the major? Or was it the poetry itself that was dumb?
Oh, no. The poetry was lovely. I mean, I'm... Mm-hmm, this is going to be, like, the gayest thing I've ever said. I prefer spoken word to poetry.
Well, that's going to be... I wouldn't... Don't worry, check your ass can't catch. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming! Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in the sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle, and what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born.
Oh, jazz break. Oh, that was so good.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Now, sorry, Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. I don't know the year, but I'm going to say early 20th century, obviously.
Oh, no, that's real.
Don't major in it, though. It's dumb.
I went to a dumb college.
Would you like me to read poetry to you? How about you do philosophical things? We'll honk in between, and I'll read you poems that I like. Would that make us boyfriend, girlfriend, or boyfriend, they, friend?
Well, you have in the notes here... Merlin's mm-hmm. weird. Oh, not the watch thing. I'm also having a weird watch thing. But is
oh, I had the craziest watch thing. I do have to tell you about that at some point. Go ahead.
I'm going to make a note because I do feel weird talking about my fancy phone, but I fucking love it so much, and I know that I shouldn't feel weird about it, but oh my God, I love it so much. Okay, weird.
Stop talking and just talk. Tell me about the phone.
No, but I want to hear. More importantly. Is Merlin unintentionally thirsty?
It's kind of related to the challenge. Maybe we should put a pin in that. But okay. I was thinking about, because Alex, is there one word right now that you could use to describe my state of mind?
Ooh, hold on.
I'm going to say philosophical.
I'm not fast as you would say.
That's the word I keep using, Alex. I'm very philosophical right now. And I was thinking, because in my discussion of something YouTube.
Oh, I got it. You are very passionate right now.
Yeah, philosophical.
Okay, you're all right. I'll allow it.
Ooh, sorry. We were looking for philosophical. What is philosophical? No, we got. I mean, I just it's going to sound double extra super secret thirsty if I even ask the question. But I was thinking about why do I make playlists. And the thing that I've been telling myself, because I think I've said this to you, I think I've said it to our friends, our listeners out there, is that how can I put this? I love projects. I like little projects. It's really been a savior for me. Little, all kinds of different projects, different kinds of things, high-minded things, extremely practical things. And that's kind of what's getting me through a lot of the day these days. And one of those things that's really silly but fun is I love making playlists for all the things. But especially, I mean, yeah, I like YouTube playlists, but I really like Spotify playlists. That's one reason we're doing this challenge, is it's fun to do that. But I was thinking, like, why do I do that? And I was like, do I do that because it's an opportunity for me to have nostalgia? Like, setting aside the, like, follow your nose challenge. Like, typically, it'll be something. Some of my favorite playlists are just songs that somebody loves from the past, you know, curated around a theme or whatever. So do I do that because... it's nostalgic and it gives me an escape. And I was like, yeah, I think it probably does do that. And I was like, do I do it because I think my taste is great and I want people to admire me? And that's kind of where I got stuck a little bit. I'm like, you know, there probably is a little bit of that to it. You know what I mean?
Yes, but I don't know if it's true.
I want to be admired for my very good nostalgia.
Hmm.
I think the answer is it's not thirsty, it's fun. Because I do think... if I thought people hated it and weren't interested, I wouldn't do it. But in some ways, I want to work out and get buff because I want people to like think I'm hot. None of that's true, literally. But ultimately, I get in shape. You know, like I say to my kid, we brush our teeth for us and only secondarily for other people. And I think for me, making playlists is like brushing teeth, not in the habitual sense, but in the sense of I do this for me and I hope you benefit from it too. God, that's a lot of what I do. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very philosophical right now.
You started with making it sound like you were going to say something self-deprecating, and then you brought it back, and it is what you do, and you're very, very good at it.
I do that.
Yes, you're very philosophical.
Thank you, Alex. All I was really looking for today is a compliment. I'm feeling very philosophical.
Yeah, I mean, you're thirsty for them.
I'm with a strap.
Yep.
Is Donald Trump Jr. okay? Is he okay? Does he have people who are talking to him right now and trying to help him a little bit?
What kind of porn do you think he watches? Like, is it based? Like, I know that these are not healthy and normal thoughts, but his girlfriend seems a little bit bonkers. I don't know if I would.
You should have seen her when she was with Gavin Newsom. She was a snack. Oh my God.
And
she had great, great frames.
No, this is the straightest thing I've ever said. Not a fan of her boobs. go ahead and cut that out. You know what?
No, have you seen her? But you're not hearing my mouth words. Did you ever see her back in the day?
Don't cut that out, because that is a bad thing I said and I shouldn't do it again. But I do not like her.
No, cut all this out. This is the show will never air.
Is Mitch McConnell okay? And I also mean that in
Unfortunately he seems to be getting better. Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, but is he getting better or is it makeup? Like, I would not.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I
don't know. I don't know what the fuck was going on there. It is weird that so one of the Band-Aids makes sense. So what we're talking about here is there have been photographs of Mitch McConnell having, like, not a Peter Pettigrew hand. How would you put it? More like he's got grayscale.
He's a zombie. Yeah, it's very upsetting.
Yeah. He looks like the sweet little girl in Game of Thrones.
Oh, no. You're right. Oh, God.
You can deal with grayscale, but it's not very comfortable. Did you get that photo?
I did. I don't... This... is
not your type. Oh shit, that's so my type. Look at that. Look at the she's professional. What kind of porn? I mean, there's a part of me that thinks it's got to be the most like pedestrian 15-year-old boy boobs and butts porn, maybe. And then of course there's the other part of me that thinks it's about like that he likes maybe like choking or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's either perfectly benign or absolutely horrific. Like, I can't imagine anything in between.
The thing that's driving me nuts right now is that, I mean, he does, there's something about the how and the precise way that he is unhinged right now. I'm talking about Donald Trump Jr. The precise way that he is unhinged right now really feels, I'm going to say drug-related or possibly alcohol-related. His eyes, his demeanor, his like, you know, is he okay in that way? And then there's the other part of me that's like, well, what if he's not taking the drugs? Yeah. Then it's like, whoa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would love it.
What's the Occam's razor for that cat?
Yeah, I mean, I would truly, I don't know what's better, being coked out or being, I know that crazy is kind of like a slur right now, but I don't, like this fully psychotic meltdown. Like, how do we it's fucking
let's avoid those words. He seems a little scrambled right now.
Yeah. Oh, he, more than a little. Like, I don't know.
Did you see the one from the other day that me and lots of other people posted, the defending his father, and he goes down so many avenues, cuts himself off, changes, talking so fast. So the person who had posted the video that I saw said, what did they say? Donald Trump Jr. is currently very animated on Fox News.
I mean, when anyone in government does a talking head and it's less coherent than me, you know it's going downhill real fast.
Oh, I see. That's the is that the Bechdel test? What's that called? The Alex exam? How do you feel about that? Oh!
Yeah, very, very philosophical. We should dig dug challenge, which this week it was your challenge, and I don't think we came up with a cute, clever name for it, which we should probably do.
No, the challenge is something, something YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Something YouTube. What did you something with YouTube?
Well, if there's one word to describe how I'm feeling right now, I would say it's philosophical. So I did a few practical things.
I'm a little bit slap happy now, and I know that I'm an easy laugh, but I'll really want to make the title philosophical, and I know that you won't love me, but it's just funny.
The title of the episode would be philosophical?
No, it would literally be philosophical. I can't. It would literally be PH.
Like a woman's name, Phyllis? Philosophical?
Yes, it would be Phyllis. Oh. Phyllis Office Cal.
Are we doing puns now? Is that a thing we're doing?
Welcome to the Merlin and Alex show. What did you something something YouTube?
See, the thing is, Alex, a lot of people think because I hate puns, I can't do puns.
Oh no,
that's
very good.
That's my secret. I'm always punning. I could pun so hard. It would. I mean, maybe not a Glenn Fleischman or a Joe Rosenstiel, but like I will curl your hair just a little bit, and not the hair as you think. Let's see. What am I looking at here? I don't think I made any brand new playlists in the past week, but I can check.
Oh,
why do they bury? Where's my playlist? Where are they?
Oh, I had a bitch of a time with this too. Are you on the homepage of YouTube?
Yeah, right now I'm on the website. Yeah.
Okay, so if you do,
but as with Spotify, they obviously Spotify and. I can't say obviously, but it strikes me that neither YouTube nor Spotify either expected or are encouraging you to have dozens or potentially hundreds of playlists.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially Spotify. It's really difficult to manage, and you can do folders, but at least on my version on the Mac, every time I make a change, apart from the content of a given playlist, if I move something or if I make a folder, everything in that left rail momentarily disappears, and I have to scroll to make it come back. And then you get it's almost an iPhone level of annoyingness to drop into a folder.
Yes.
Are you going to talk about Wicked?
Oh, no. You discovered a new genre of YouTube.
I'll save it for the show, but are you going to talk about that? Okay, good. I did the thing that I like to do, and this for me is, this is a very strange thing. I don't want to say I like doing this, but I definitely find myself doing this. I am that guy who will go on Twitter and say, show less often, even though I know it's attached to literally nothing. I will do that. I will do that for all kinds of things. Please show this less often. I figure if someday they want to improve their product, they'll have data to see that I fucking hate it so much. I am also the kind of person who goes through Spotify release radar on Fridays and diligently discover the 5 to 10% of songs that are a total fucking error based on namespace pollution or fraud.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not Sloan. That's not Sloan. That's trap music. that's not the band Genesis. That's trap music. I know trap music, and that's not Genesis. I do that. Why do I do that? I don't know. It gives me something. And yes, I am the sort of person who will, on every platform, I think, but TVOS, go in and say, don't show me this channel anymore.
Wait.
And so I do a lot of that.
Why TVOS? I'm confused by what... on the Apple TV...
I'm super frustrated that there are... How can I put this? I mean, apps are hard. I get it. But like the functionality, you can get to stuff on YouTube for TVOS. But my sense is there's two things there's only two things they want to make easy, because it's always two things with them. One of the things is they make it easy to play things, and they make it easy to autoplay, whether you want it or not. Because those are the two things that benefit them. If you want to do anything, you got a mouse, swipe down, it pauses for an eighth of a second, even though you didn't pause it. Now it's on the pause button, mm-hmm. even though you didn't pause. And you can go left or right to say, look at this channel, do this thing, hit the thumb, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So many different UIs.
Oh, but God. There's no right click to do shit.
Yep.
I like right clicking to do shit.
Yes, but I prefer the little like 30-second skippy button on iOS. The trade-offs are fucking wild. And that's kind of what I don't understand. I understand, because you're right, apps are hard, and that's not a priority, because skipping forward 15 to 30 seconds doesn't, you know, help the algorithm.
By pressing the diving board, yeah.
Yeah, oh boy. Seriously, someone tell me why Joe Rogan is cool. Like, one person, just okay. One, please,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
okay.
I went on my burner account, and I was like, okay, let's do the, I did not watch it, but I was like, what? I went and put on, I've got like a YouTube burner account, basically, that if anyone looked at it would think that I was a Nazi. But this time I just did a private, or not private, what is it called in Safari?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me translate to the listeners who may be as confused as I am. Alex has a second YouTube account for watching things that they would not like to have tracked or to have have an impact on the recommendations. And I think what Alex is about to say is that they watched something with Joe Rogan. Did I get most of that right?
Yes, except this time I did incognito mode. What is it on Safari? I'm not even sure, but
private
tab. And just put on the Joe Rogan episode with Alex Jones, and then did the auto, let the autoplay happen.
Oh, yes.
And wow, it gets so dark so fast, because sure.
That's what everybody says.
Well, no, I didn't. Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't watch the whole thing, but.
Well, I'm saying I don't get that. I mean, I got that once, like I said, I got that once by looking at Russian dash cam videos.
Oh, boy.
And motorcycle accidents and trucks hitting bridges.
Yeah.
You know, like, you ever seen, like, the camera of that watches the overpass where the trucks always don't notice the sign and it shears off the top of the truck?
Yes. And it goes from it's that really good. To, would you like the snuff film? No, please. No, thank you.
Exactly.
Please, no.
Pound sign Don Jr. choking.
Right, so you didn't do a new YouTube playlist. Do you want to share a good YouTube?
So what you can do that's great. I'm on the Mac right now. So, oh God, new Monster Factory. Jim Jelly is doing gymnastics their way. Oh my God. So you mouse over, and like so many things, people wouldn't know to mouse over. But if you mouse over the title or whatever, you get the Google's beloved three dots,
mm-hmm.
which it's worse than a hamburger. It always means something different. In Google Apps, the three dots are everywhere, and it's basically, it's almost always like, you know, help or whatever. Wow. It's like, no, but in this case, if you click on the three dots, oh my God, look at all the things under there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you this, listener, first of all, pay for the YouTube where you don't get ads. Really, seriously, best money I spend every month.
Yep, I agree. Same.
Oh my God, what a difference. If I click on the triple dots for Jim Jelly, I get six options. What? Yes, I get add to queue. I get save to watch later, which I'm always clicking. And a separate one for just save to playlist. Now on iOS, those are the same button with an interstitial, like a pop-up. Add to queue, save to watch later, save to playlist. They give you a buster for not interested. The last one is report, but very important, the one that's like a caution sign. God, their design language is weird. Mm-hmm. Don't recommend channel. Now, I'm not going to do that because I love Jim Jelly. Well, I haven't watched it yet, but I love those boys. I love the woodworking simulator. Oh, my God. But like, so for example, pretty often I'll watch our current president do one of his dingling rallies. And I try to do that with Washington Post. But sometimes I end up looking at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's going to happen, Alex? I start getting recommended Fox things. Yeah. And as quick as that comes up, I hit the triple dots and say, don't recommend this channel. I'm telling you all about this. You might know about this, but if you want to have a better experience with YouTube, you need to try and leverage some of these things. It's very important, I think. Do you do that? Do you say don't recommend channel?
Recommend a channel?
Do you ever find yourself going in on a non? Well, I guess you can do it on TVOS. It's a pain in the ass. Do you go in and say don't recommend this channel anymore?
Actually not recently, but I used to all the time.
Because you never know what's going to set it off. Like all of a sudden, I'll watch one kind of video. I could be watching a certain sort of video or thing about a band, and yeah, a couple things show up, and it's like, oh, that's really interesting. And then for whatever reason, there's other kinds of topics where it becomes half of my recommendations after one video.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. They must have, like I say, algorithm. You know, let's stop saying that if we don't know what it really means. They must have some means for knowing how to best provide what they think I will watch, not necessarily what I will like, what I would watch, but alongside like what they've got stock of or what they've got the most ads for or whatever that is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Except for not using the word algorithm, what else would it be?
But it's like when the president says plasma.
Okay,
and first
fair.
Of all, that's not how you pronounce it, but tell me what plasma is, sir.
Mario. I mean...
Carrie.
I made it worse.
Dawn. Dawn. He's my worst friend, Alex. He's my worst friend. It continued offline.
Mm-hmm.
John Syracuse got back to me later, and he's trying to find sounds of things that I've said in the past because he wants to show me... And this is, understand, this is coming from the man who tells you you pronounce his name wrong, number one. Number two, he refuses to pronounce it himself. And number three, the thing he always says is, meh, I think because he's Squidward, meh. Somewhere he's got an MP3 of Federico Vitici saying it correctly. And four, he won't say it. And you say, like, it's your name and you're bothered by it. Could you give me a demo? And that's exactly how he works. And that's what his flying monkeys love about him. Ugh. He's no better than Trump. And he's my worst friend.
Well, don't say that. No, that's, he's more of a McCain. Like,
for contrast, yeah. I have an LG TV that I love, and that has a giant remote that does things. It's got, first of all, if you want to use it as a mouse, you just move it around in the air like a Wiimote.
No, I'm sorry. Go on. I wasn't making a bullet vibe joke. I let the remote. I'm moving on. Not everything's for you. Yes. So you're waving around a remote and like a cursor.
Okay. I'll tell you a thing I say to my family sometimes, Alex, and I know I talk a lot, but it's kind of how I operate. And I'll say, you know, over the years, I've been permitted to get fewer and fewer words into a sentence. and if you keep guessing what the second two thirds of the sentence is, you know, first of all, you're not going to be right a lot. And you're going to be so busy trying to guess what I'm about to say that you're not going to hear the amazing fucking thing I just said.
Not you.
You're awesome. It's my family I dislike.
you just accidentally said a tagline for what is it? Early to bed. Anyway,
the title line for early to bed.
I giggled remote. At a sex toy name. I want to hear about the LG.
Oh, okay,
cursor.
Cool. All right.
Is it like a Wiimote?
Yes. Ooh. So it's got a scroll wheel / do button in the middle. It's got a four-way controller if you want to click. Are you getting this? Like, it's so you can, if you're in a long list, if I'm looking at movies on my external drive, which are just, it's not the smartest app in the world, but I can zzz, we'll just, like, I can, here's a simulation, ready? I can do that. And then it's also I don't love that this is the do button, but the scroll wheel is also a do button. It's got all those things. It's got defaults that you can, you know, have fun with. It's got all of the controls on the remote, and boy, is it ever way easier. That combination of the LG app and the LG remote, you know what, if it weren't for Apple stuff at this point, I don't know if I would keep using an Apple TV. There's serviceable apps for almost everything, and there's way better apps for a lot of stuff. The Netflix app on LG is way better, and until very, very recently, it was the only thing in my house that would let me do 4K YouTube.
I truly didn't realize how bad the Apple TV experience was until I saw someone's smart TV and saw how easy and how much better YouTube looked. And I'm like, oh, right.
Oh my God. And like using a Roku has been better at so many things for years before I owned it. Oh, I only had the giant old Apple TV that looked like a Mac Mini.
Oh, I loved it.
But like,
yeah.
Roku, it's here's the thing. You can go simple or you can go powerful. And trying to do both is rough. And trying to do neither sucks. And I feel like Apple TV is neither useful nor powerful. So, you know, a Roku, it's drop dead simple. Like, if you have that in your rental cottage on Airbnb, like, people will figure out how to use a Roku. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool looking, easy to use, easy to hold. I mean, sorry, Syracuse, I know it's not the peanut remote. And about the world of peanut. No, but it's a very easy to use remote, and it's got buttons that do things instead of this area up here. This could be anything. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm complaining. I don't mean to complain. Other things, and then I'll throw to you. I mentioned this on Twitter today. The benefits of list making. I think there are benefits to list making, and I'll tell you why. One of the benefits of list making is it shakes loose a bunch of stuff you didn't know were on your mind. And so once you start making a list of a kind of thing, a whole new world opens to you, because now you have a place to put things when, you know what I mean? You've got, mm-hmm, the same, yeah, way, like an index card is where the thing goes.
It's like GTD for entertainment.
Kind of.
In a good way. That's how I think about it.
It's not just for entertainment. Well, okay. Well, no. I'm not disagreeing. But like, for example, like, I've got my list we talked about here called My Happy Place. I think you have lists like, mm-hmm, that.
Yeah.
If I'm particularly delighted by a YouTube video, it goes on my happy place. That is that really a deep thing to say? You know what? Fuck you. It is. It's a very deep thing to say, and here's why. If I need a happy place day, I know I go to the place where the happy things go. I have a place to put that, and that makes all the difference in the world. I mentioned that when I've learned, finally, whenever I add a new HomeKit device, take a fucking photograph of the code.
Yes.
A listener to Back to Work sent me, I guess there's an app that you can get that's for that, but I have an album. What is an album? An album is a list. I have an album called HomeKit. And it's where I put all the things. I have another album that's just the Twitter headers I'd like to use. That's a list. I have a text file with probably at this point over 100 bios that I like to use. I like to change my bio. My bio is my art. I've got that. So I've got all my Twitter headers over here that I like to use. I got all my things over here. There is a benefit to making lists, and it's more than just clearing your mind. It's knowing you have a place where stuff goes. So I have lists where I put things like how-to videos. Because if I need to know it now, I might need to know it again. I have a list in text files of Dr. Drang linking to that way of resetting your OpenWith apps, how to reset the launch, what is it called, LaunchD or what? Not LaunchD, but the thing that gets all fucked up and you have four versions of Fission in there and you don't know why?
Oh, yes.
And there's two or three lines you just drop into the terminal. And I don't know, I'm making a case to you that I'm not saying you need to go make a given list, and it is great for entertainment, but start thinking about lists that you could begin, lists that you could seed with a few things. Just try this. Keep your mind open to places where you could put stuff you didn't know you'd need. And I think that's a real benefit. And I think YouTube is maybe one of the most surprising of those. Yeah, it's nice to have like, oh, here's all the ones where there were like nip slips on Days of Our Lives or whatever. Whatever your deal is, Donald Jr. But that's my pitch. That's mostly it. I'm throwing to Alex. Alex, what did you do? And you've got to talk to me about Wicked. What did you do with YouTube, if you will?
Well, first, why do you want me to talk about Wicked? Just like like how there's Wicked YouTube, the same way there's tech YouTube.
Is this what we're gonna do? We're gonna do it like this, huh?
Oh, I don't. Okay, so the lit.
Okay, so okay, fine. No, fine. If you like it this way, we can do this. Let's check. 3:28 p.m. Pacific time. I said to you and producer Quinn, I said, new to me, pulling together clips of many different performances to make a full version of a Broadway show. And I linked to a YouTube video called Wicked, a New Musical HD, mm-hmm. which of course I clicked because I want to see Popular. I want to see the greatest song of all time, Defying Gravity. And I was watching on my phone, laying on the couch here at work. And I was like, something feels weird about this. Why do they keep like dissolving between a Hamilton length shot, cell phone shot from back here? Why did he cut in between that and a super close and somebody who doesn't sound like Kristen Chenoweth or Idina Menzel? Mm-hmm. Why do they keep cutting between the close-ups of them and the far away? This person or some person has taken, I'm going to have to guess, at least 3 and probably 13 different performances of Wicked and cut together the musical almost in the way I want to say that like a Star Wars person grabs the best copy of each, if you're trying to make like 4K 77 or, silver screen edition.
Yeah.
So I was asking you, and I said, is that a thing? And you said, spoilers for my playlist, but yes.
Yes.
So do you understand how I would derive the idea that you would mention Wicked?
Okay.
And tell me what this is?
Well, it's not just specifically Wicked, but on YouTube, because Broadway is inaccessible for a lot of people, both, because of distance and or cost.
Or not being open for over a year.
Yeah, or a pandemic that's literally killing Broadway stars. That was so sad.
Wait. Oh, yeah. In the early days? Yeah.
But a lot of, those people who sneak their little phones out and record a song or two, like someone will kind of crawl. I wish there was a way to crawl YouTube for titles of things. I'm sure there is, but they'll do like Defying Gravity, try to find the best version of that or the version that looks most like the other clips they have found. And by other clips, I mean just literally other parts of the show.
So some of them look like high school productions.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Did you have you looked at this, or let me put this this way. Had you seen this before I mentioned it?
I had not seen this version.
This particular video?
But I have seen... Well, that is the other thing. It's kind of like a fallen off the back of the truck type thing where... or like there's kind of like codes. Or not codes, but everything is...
No. There's lots of things like this where there is like on all sorts of websites, wink, wink, there are ways to signal what something is without invoking the wrath of the person who owns the thing that that is.
Yeah, and just the titles and the tags are like something totally weird, like educational, and or it'll be named something nonsensical. I saw, oh gosh, it was so good. I should make a list of all the amazing titles for wealthy.
Good for you, Alex. I'm happy to hear that. Good for you.
Well, I mean, there was just a really good Dear Evan Hansen title that was just like Hansen, the first band, or it was just ridiculous.
Is it with our boy?
Yes.
Oh shit, the one I've got sucks. The moms are not good and the kid is not what I was expecting.
Yeah, there are some real great ones and some not so great ones.
I would appreciate your discussion of that in a more private forum.
Yeah. I wish that I could tell you how the Chicago cast was going, but those performances are just out the window.
I'm at this point, by the way, just in passing. I can't remember. I feel like this is a band that Quinn likes.
Hanson?
You know, when you try to guess the second or the last two thirds of the sentence, you don't always. Yes, Hanson. Did I tell you I had a crush on the singer before I realized it was a 14-year-old boy?
Oh, you were fully
not a
grown
crush,
adult.
Not a crush, a sexual craving. No, what I was going to say was, should I try to fight? What was I talking about?
Quinn's.
We were talking about.
Theoretically, the band.
Beach Bunny. Holy shit. This is a band. Well, you'll hear this if you listen to Rectifs and you catch up. This will be mentioned on the Rectifs that comes out the day this episode comes out. But no, did I tell you this? My kid, yes, I did tell you this. My kid made me that list in July where she had been talking about all these different bands and all the lesbian bands she loves and popular with the lesbian kids. And I was like, and she surprised me with a list. And it was so fucking good. And one of the two of the songs on there were by Beach Bunny. Spoilers, but that band was recommended. One of those two songs was recommended to me by a Reconcilable Differences listener.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're totally from Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well.
Oh, after show, let's talk about Beach Bunny. Are you aware of them?
No, I'm on their adorable website.
Oh, shit, dog. This is going to be so great. Do you like the Beths?
Yes. Yeah.
If you like the Beths, I think you... I'll speak for myself. So yeah, I was playing I'm Gonna Shut Up after this, you hope. But I was sitting around and sometimes I just listen to Spotify. You know, I was sitting in the living room, the lounge, as you say, and I'll just listen to Spotify on the TV. And so I pulled up just the play a bunch of Beach Bunny on the TV. And I think just... It's funny, I went back to it yesterday. I hearted half of the songs on the album already. And that's not even, obviously, the way I was listening was totally random. So basically, I was hearting every song. That album is so good. We're going to talk about Beach Bunny. How would people get to hear us talk about Beach Bunny?
Oh, you would go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com and support us on Patreon so you can hear us talk about the weird watch problems we're having.
My watch problem? Yep.
My square phone. I've got an Apple TV thing, the Dickerson pencil, and now Beach Bunny, who has a delightful website. My goodness, this is so fun. Oh.
The singer is really cool looking and she has a great voice. Alex, I'm so sorry. I think my iced tea kicked in. And the latency is better, but my iced tea kicked in. I'm being a weirdo.
It's very upsetting that I think Chrome is what is causing it.
Why are you using that? You've got to get rid of it.
I literally need it for my work.
So you can look at Facebook. Okay.
Nah, yeah.
At what point did I cut you off? I cut you off LGTV, diving board, jump in anywhere. What'd you do? Wicked. Define gravity. So what's your list? Did you make lists? What'd you do?
I put together some lists and completed some lists of private playlists I had that are basically stitched together Broadway shows. Thank you, people who did the bad thing and filmed at either concerts or play performances. Any sort of live performance, because wow, that is one thing that has really, really delighted me. Like I went back into my photos library and went in. I was that person. I have a few songs recorded from like concerts in high school or a couple in college, and it made me so happy. And I was passing it around to people and they're like, oh my gosh. And I don't know, I'm gonna be less judgmental and shitty about people who occasionally whip out their phones. Like, well, one thing in particular is there was College, which is this band that did most of the music for one of my favorite movies, Drive, with Ryan Gosling. And
what?
Yeah, and
a real human being. I love that soundtrack.
Yes,
I'm the only person I know that loves that movie. I love that movie so fucking much. I used to fall asleep to that soundtrack every night. I love it so much.
It is, it's one of my favorite soundtracks, and
it's so perfect. It could not be more like perfect Michael Mann, mm-hmm. like not exactly Miami Vice, but the 80s style Michael Mann kind of soundtrack. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, and they went on a tour just doing the Drive soundtrack, and brought a couple of bands who were also on there, and I filmed Real Human. It's called Real Hero, right? Or is it called Real Human Being?
Yeah. But yeah, that's one of the lines from it. I don't know the names of the songs.
It's one of my I don't know. It's a song that really, really means a lot to me, and it.
Oh, that record's a mood, man. It's perfect for like watching somebody with a toothpick in their mouth drive a car at night. It's exactly perfect.
It's so good. And
is this Cliff Martinez? No, who is it? Is this a music person?
Wait, what? Huh?
I'm trying to figure out the name of the person. I see Cliff Martinez is a name associated with this. Did you say you knew the person who did the music, or were aware of the person who did the music?
Yeah, the band College did a lot of the music, and there was another.
Okay, College. Okay.
And Night Call, I don't know who Night Call is by. See, I'm a fake Drive fan. But God, that is, I think, the first Blu-ray I bought.
Yeah, A Real Hero is by College. Night Call is by Kavinsky featuring Love Fox, 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 Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Under Your Spell by Desire.
A lot of those bands, well, the thing is a lot of those overlap, and it's that album or soundtrack or whatever is like a super group actually, because
interesting. I want to read about this is so cool.
Yeah, okay. it's well, originally the film had like no budget, and then they got Ryan Gosling and I guess they had more money, but it was one of those,
and Carrie Mulligan and Oscar Isaac. Oh my God, everybody's so good in that.
I adore that movie, and everybody should watch it. It's one of my few Letterboxd five stars. And
are you shitting me? I'm so happy to hear that, Alex. There's a very few, like handful of movies my wife in particular and I like completely disagree on, and two that come straight to mind are this and The Prestige. I still can't believe she does not like The Prestige.
She's thinking of the wrong movie. She's thinking of the wrong movie.
I still think she's thinking. I've tried to make her sit down and watch it.
It's. I mean, I.
And I played her. I played the moment, the 1 minute and 17 second segment where Griffin finally figures out that his brothers were getting him to eat the pasta. He thought that was free pasta to eat while you're waiting at Olive Garden. He never realized that it's just nasty pasta that was just sitting out as a decoration. Remember that? And there's a moment where Griffin puts it together and Justin goes, The Prestige!